the Monday Night Scores, a wrestling podcast covering the epic battle for rating supremacy between WWF Raw and WCW Monday Nitro. Last time out, it was the WrestleMania pre-show, if you will, but it didn't stop the ratings war juggernaut that is WCW Nitro at this point in time in 1996. They're heading up the Monday Night Scoreboard 15-10. But will last night's incredible WrestleMania 12, where Shawn, double your pain, double your pleather, Michaels, controversially won the World Heavyweight Championship from Bret Hart in an epic Iron Man match, be enough to turn the tide in the ratings war tonight? There's only one way to find out. But before we get into it, we best start by introducing ourselves. I'm one of your hosts, my name is Steve, and I am, as always, joined by a man who is currently out on bail following a vicious assault on a friend. Details are hazy, but there is some speculation online that he became shockingly violent after being served what is said to have been described as an unexpectedly cold quiche for lunch. Ugh, why spit on the carpet? Cold? What do you mean it's cold? I have never, in all my days, take it away from me. Yes, sir, sorry, Mr. Nitpicker, sir, I'm terribly sorry. Put it in the fucking bin. Of course, right away, Mr. Nitpicker, sir. No, in fact, wait, give it here, give it here. Spit, throws it on the floor, stamps it into the carpet. We can't say for certain, of course. All we know is, it's the one and only Nitpicker, Jim. All right, Jim?
Enjoyed that. I haven't had another intro for a while. I was looking forward to... So seeing what you've come up with there, it was good. But yeah, I haven't done one of these for a while, so looking forward to getting back into it.
Superb stuff. And I'm also joined by another man, hailing all the way from the Spanish announce table. And this week, he brings with him news that will be devastating to the Monday Night Scores faithful. As I am afraid to say, he's Fuera del Mercado. Yes, as our Spanish-speaking listeners will now know, he is the one and only...
Always top-class pronunciation from yourself, Steve.
The one and only Lost Liam is off the market. Congratulations, Liam.
Oh, it wasn't worth it. It didn't even work. I do apologise, I ruined it.
Have you picked out a Spanish villa for the ceremony yet, Liam?
Hola, the search goes on, I think, Steve. A couple of nice ones in Benidorm that we we'll cast our eye over. But yeah, good to be back. Good to be back.
Right, well, we best get into it then. All right, then, Jim, put that cold piece down. I've got to place an issue with some cultural reference points. Here we go. Let's set the scene. The date is the 1st of April, 1996.
The cold case just hit me again. Where it's come from? You can't eat quiche cold. Oh, you can't do that. Rancid.
Oh, quiche conspiracy. I thought you deadpanned it a bit more. I thought you
were going to watch it. I did it last year.
No word of a lie, just how it was verbatim, like, just how it happened. Right. It's the 1st of April, 1996. This week, in an absolute wallop of 90s nostalgia, Sabrina the Teenage Witch was released in cinemas. It was the comic adaptation, and it came before the TV show that the film did, with Melissa Joan Hart playing Sabrina and Michelle Boudouin. I don't only do the Spanish pronunciations, can't do the French stuff, it's not the French-Canadian stuff. Playing her best friend, they're the only cast members who were then carried over to TV stuff. But still, there you go, the birth of Sabrina the Teenage Witch as we know it. What a milestone this is.
Got a lot of time for Salem in the TV series.
Oh,
what a character.
Absolutely right.
Endless hours of watching Salem just chucking out anecdotes. Fantastic.
Incredible. Spot on. In basketball, the Vancouver Grizzlies finally ended a 23-game consecutive losing streak by beating the Minnesota Timberwolves 105-103. Blimey, unbelievable that. Deftones released Bored, look it up, kids, and P-Shy released Who Let All the Monkeys Out?
Good question.
Which includes the song, Jason, I Thought I Saw a UFO, which I had to listen to. And it sounds like Ross from Friends is on keyboard. It's class commitment. I said yeah afterwards, I loved it.
Anyway, I'm absolutely hooked. Can't recommend it enough. Right.
Right. Now we know what we were watching at the movies, what we were celebrating on the court, and what we were absolutely not listening to on tape. Let's see how WCW and WWF are going to compete with that lot. There'll be repeated flailing Foley attacks that were all too much for the trainers, ingenious Nasty Boy Screwjob impersonators, and joyously Hogan face popularity going down the drain. Let's get cracking. And we kick off with the Raw Rundown, the follow-up show to last night's Mania Bonanza, coming live from the Orange Pavilion in San Bernardino, California. After the obligatory cinematic recap, which once again succeeds in making the events sound more exciting than they actually were, and without giving away the game too much, in order to avoid cannibalising the encore pay-per-view vibes, it doesn't really tell us actually too much of what happened, of stuff you actually want to see, but still. We get ourselves into the arena, and the action gets underway with the WWF debut of the one and only Mankind.
Yeah, finally. Finally, is
it? I know, teasing this for weeks. He's no longer in the basement. He's here. He's here, lads. And he does arrive, heralded to the ring by creepy horror film inspired sort of depressing string music. It's dead unnerving. It's great. And he saunters out, the leather-masked face of Mankind, wearing ripped all brown leather and spandex with this odd symbol. It's like a mix of a Celtic cross and the Yank symbol of life thing, the sort of Egyptian thing. Chunks of hair missing from the side of his head. He's got this, like, lilting, sort of, like, bent-over walk, sort of leaning to one side as he comes in, raised shoulder, and he looks just really odd, very odd indeed. And he's sort of, makes him look like he's sort of permanently sneaking around a corner. He was dead odd. Anyway, he turns around and heads back up the gangway for a bit and then turns around again and then goes to the ring. And when he gets to the ring, he finds the the unusual shoulder-length hair and bald patch combo that is Sparkplug Bob Body. Wearing his spandex singlet, and he looks like someone's ordered Bret Hart on Wish. He looks shit. He couldn't look less like the most inappropriate person to be taking on Mankind. It's a fucking racing driver. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Anyway, yeah, the appearances, there couldn't be any great contrast between them.
And, you know, I was thinking as well, right, so this is Mankind. He's like being in a basement for ages, like eating rats and stuff. There's Bob Ollie, who was a race car driver 20 minutes ago, right? But you don't do that with other careers, do you? You know what I mean? You don't, like, change jobs and then, like, keep dressing in stuff that, like, references the old job that you had beforehand. You know what I mean? It's like, what the hell's that new chef wearing, John? I used to be a lollipop man, Dave. Oh, see, I got you right. You know, like, what the... It's ridiculous. Anyway, we get underway and Mankind reaches over the top of the ref's shoulder to blindside Holly, and he immediately starts battering him with, like, roughhousing pummels and, like, just headbutts, like, really nasty, like, eye gouges. They're great. And then and he gets him in this, like, rear chokehold, which is accompanied by, like, pig squeals.
He's squealing all the way through this, isn't he?
It's so weird. I don't remember him doing that.
No, I don't.
I mean, it's interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was really fucking different. And actually, I think on, you know, on comms and stuff, King, who's usually, like, massively in the heels and stuff, I think he did, you know, he did well at kind of, like, I love this, but still, that's fucking weird, which is quite good.
I used to think I had the best pig noise out of, like, me and all my mates. but it was nothing. It was nothing on this.
Are you glad to take a backseat here to Mankind?
Yeah, I would definitely see it. He has the superior pig noise, no doubt about it.
It was good. It was great commitment. Great commitment from Mankind.
No, it was very good.
You can knock the nitpicker off his perch. Can't argue with that. No higher praise. Anyway, yeah, we get a massive knee to the face from Mankind to Holly when he's in the corner that looked brilliant, like legged it towards him, and Holly's in the sort of the bottom turnbuckle look brilliant, and then the man kind of, like, chuckles in, like, a really deranged way, leaning on the second row, pulling his hair out in front of the camera,
crazy. What a start to your WWF career. It was absolutely bananas, this. And as I say, it just feels a million miles away from what we've got, your Taskmasters and Hogans and stuff on the other side. But then, and to spark plug Bob Ollie, in fairness, on this side too, and Isaac Yankum and stuff. It just feels like a breath of fresh air, doesn't it? It's unbelievable. Holly then gets a bit of offence in and gets cheers from what sounds like everyone under the age of 7 in the crowd. So, you know, there you go. That's who likes the old race car turn wrestler, them 7-year-olds. It doesn't last. Mankind gets on top again. Gets him outside the ring, which looked a bit botched. I don't know if you saw that. Mankind like try to like pull the rope down as Holly was coming on, but slipped, like let go of the rope. Holly did quite a good job of still somehow just throwing himself over. Looked terrible, though. And then Mankind follows him out the ring with a baseball slide and then follows that up with a flapjack that plants Bob's face into the ring apron canvas. Looked great. A tree of woe appropriately set up by Mankind and then plants a running, diving double axe handle and then tears more hair out, screams, "It's time," and then he lands, lads. Holly with the mandible claw. Yes, straight in. No Mr. Socko yet. We've just got a strapped up couple of fingers. But he applies it. More big squeals happen as Holly loses consciousness. The ref calls for a DQ, or a KO, sorry, not DQ. And then that sees Mankind get the win. And then I never realised this. Moving slightly upbeat, but still a bit creepy, happy-ish piano and string music plays. He's got a different outro music. I didn't know this.
I thought it was a bit weird, though, the outro music.
Really weird. It was really weird. It was like he's just like it's everything's right with the world in Mankind's deranged thing.
I mean, you two can probably vouch for this better than me, but I got like Baby Mobile vibes from the outro. Like it just didn't fit. I love the intro. Like that was great. You know, you said really like creepy, but this was a bit weird going out.
I've made the note of worst music of the watch through so far. Even worse.
Even worse
than Mr. Wonderful's.
Oh, surely not.
Hang on a minute. Yeah, hang on.
I don't know how I hated it that much. But I could have been, obviously, my kind of opinion could have been obscured by jealousy about the pig noise. So I'm still coming to terms with it at that point.
I did enjoy Mankind using the Tree of Woe. It was like the setup for the Man of the Claw as well. So
yeah, brilliant. No, it was some cracking stuff here. Anyway, so there you go. That's Mankind's WWF debut, lads. Unbelievable.
Great that, though. Everything bar the outro music was great for me. Even the foaming at the mouth, I thought that was decent as well.
Yeah, Holly.
It was gross. It was gross.
Spittle.
Oh, it's gross, but it fitted in with
everything.
Yeah,
no, it did. It absolutely did, yeah. You're right.
Next up, we've got another in-ring debut as Wildman Mark Merrow is taking on Isaac Yankum DDS. Liam, take us through it.
So we've got Mark Merrow, formerly known as Johnny B. Bad. He's jumped ship from Nitro. We got a brief appearance, didn't we, at WrestleMania? So before the match kicks off, we get a couple of stills from that. Himself and Sable getting involved with Hunter Hearst Helmsley, so you know that's something we're probably going to get a lot of over the next couple of weeks, and we're straight into it. Sable sat at ringside for this one, and before we get into any action, there's a bit of a recap package, isn't there, from WrestleMania, followed by some fan reaction for some reason, where they're all just saying like outstanding or magnificence and loved it, but we don't stick around for too long because we're interrupted by the horrendous noise of the dentist drill. Aren't we? That signals that Isaac Yankum DDS is heading down to the rink. I have not missed this. Like, in terms of entrance music, this is up there as well as within top three as the worst, I think. So not a bad start, really, for Mark Merrow, is it? Going up against Yankum. I think Yankum's been pretty impressive from what we've seen. Very athletic. Future Kane. So we'll see where this goes. What I did like here as well is, you know, I like a sign watch, don't you? We've had. I missed this in the first match as well. So there was one in the first match. I think it was the same guy in the first match. There was a fellow with a big yellow sign, and it said on it, "E. Bischoff and Mongo make me vomit." and then in this contest, he.
I love that he specified which Bischoff.
Yeah, oh yeah,
in the initial.
Bischoff, yeah, wasn't his wife or his son or anything. But he'd swapped it out for this one, and it on this one. It said that Nitro is pathetic, so clearly not a fan. Doesn't like WCW Nitro. He's his flag's root is firmly in the Raw camp, isn't it?
Brilliant.
But anyway, yeah, we get into it. And as we've used to, as we used to see him from Johnny B. Badd, I think we've commented on a couple of the previous podcasts, especially when he's got up against like Eddie Guerrero. He's quite impressive, isn't he? He can like go toe to toe with some of the top guys there. So he starts off pretty quick. He hits a drop kick to Yankum, who spills to the floor straight away. And from this, he's straight over the ropes, hits a 360 somersault, landed on top of Yankum. Gets him back into the ring. A couple more aerial moves are followed by Murrow there. You get a slingshot leg drop and then some flying head scissors, which both get a two counts. As I say, he's really transitioned this from WCW Nitro. So in terms of high energy, kind of like aerial prowess, he's definitely brought that straight away. Not too long into the contest, Triple H comes down. He doesn't head to the ring, though. He heads over to Sable. Good choice, to be honest, to give her some patter. And this distracts Merrill for a couple of moments, allowing Yankum to hit a backdrop slam before slowing down Merrill with a few submission holds. But he's massively over with the crowd here. And I don't know if we've mentioned this before. I know, Jim, you mentioned about Hogan having like the rotisserie kind of like tone to his biceps. Merrill's kind of like he's gone well overboard, hasn't he, with the fake tan. I was getting like year 7, year 8 kind of like when the girls kind of find fake tan out for the first time. I was kind of getting that kind of vibes. It's like an interesting kind of colour of he's gone for, but he's massively over here. And what I did like here was some of the pin attempts, not just your traditional kind of like roll-ups. He's flying through the air and he's attempting crucifix pins, reverse roll-ups. And that kind of sets up the finish, which I thought was a bit disappointing, really. I thought we could have saw like a finishing move or something, or teeing up a finisher, you know, going forward. But he does go up top. He goes on the top turnbuckle, hits a flying sunset flip, which is it's enough really to beat Yankum. Good start for Merrill, but I think it kind of buried Yankum there. He's been going up against like Bret Hart, hasn't he, and some of the top lads, so I don't know where he'll go from this. But that was a finish there. And anyway, after the bell's gone, Merrill, he heads out of the ring. The Wild Man, he heads out the ring, goes across to Triple H, who's been sitting with Sable, trying his best. Sable slaps Triple H, and then Scarpers off with Merrill, so it looks like obviously that feud's going to be moving forward. But yeah, I thought it was on debut. Thought it was all right, and as we've said, he's looked okay on Nitro as well. So promising start there. And then we cut to next to Ultimate Warrior promo. So this lad's going to be making an appearance on next week's Raw. I thought this was just going to be like a solo WrestleMania appearance, and he'll head back off into the sunset. But no, he's out next week. So judging what we saw at WrestleMania, I'm not sure if this is a good idea, really. But
definitely not.
We'll see anyway. We'll judge it for next week's show.
Next on the card, the newly crowned WWF Tag Champions, the Body Donners, taking on Aldo Montoya and Barry Horowitz. Jim, take us through the action.
Yeah, the plum draw of tonight's card, featuring The Undertaker and Mankind and Triple H, Bradshaw. I got the Body Donners versus Aldo Montoya and Barry Horowitz.
The big one.
First one we've done in a year off.
Big fish. Game fish.
So yeah, I mean, before this started, I was cursing, but I thought it was good actually. It was a lot better than it had any right to be, really. It was good. I enjoyed it. Starts out with a bit of a sunny recap, some WrestleMania antics. Yes. Just had a clash with the Irish pig farmers. The Old God wins. And then from there, it was surprisingly good. We had a bit of a fast start where we've made Aldo Montoya look the business. And then...
can we talk about his outfit again? What is going on here?
It has been a long time since we have, haven't we? It's naughty, isn't it?
It's, yeah. When we first talked about this, wasn't there something to, we all thought it was something to do with like a jellyfish or something, didn't we? Or something daft like that. Like, we thought it could be Portuguese man of war kind of thing. Not literally just a Portugal flag on a set of yellow trousers and then crack on.
Some kind of headgear.
Yeah.
No, it's
Portuguese man of war.
It's dreadful. But the fella was made to look really good in the early stages. I thought the Donners were absolutely on fire here. So not only have we made Aldo Montoya look like someone half decent, not a complete clown dressed as a jellyfish.
The clownfish.
Yeah, we get a bit of that going on, and then after that, we've cut Montoya off with some skullduggery, couple of nice double teams from there. You've got huge bumps from our Chris Candido, who is Skip, I believe. He is. And the other one's Zip. Right. So, yeah, done my research. Huge bumps from Chris, from Skip, who gets suplexed to the outside early doors. And then Montoya, he goes up to the top and does a big crossbody to the outside from the turnbuckle. All very extravagant for, obviously, what was clearly the filler material on the card. These lads determined to put a show on for the likes of me, who might be reviewing this 25 years' time.
The short straw drawer, quarter of a century later.
From there, we're back in the ring. Horowitz, he gets some roll up. I've wrote here. I've been very hazy in my notes. Horowitz gets some roll up. Yeah, Skip down.
Some roll up, lad.
Some roll up, Barry Horowitz.
It's almost like you were
remarkable.
just search roll up on it, Google him, it'll come up. It'll be the first one you see.
You just had to be there.
You've never seen a roll up like it.
April 1st, 1996. Setting the benchmark for roll-ups.
So roll up that Baz, lad.
Take note. Take note, Bret Hart, everyone. And then he's got Skip down for a good 12 counts, I've wrote. And of course he has. Of course he has.
No one's getting up after that.
Skip down.
Still there now.
I would be.
Still there now.
He would be, yeah. But he's kept down. He's down for 12 count. Then Sonny's got involved, stalled the ref long enough. And that's allowed Zip to come in and make the save. And that is, of course, the only reason why Skip is currently out of the roll-up. had it not been for some underhanded tactics from old Zip. But then, after this skip, he gets back on top for the tag champs, which is, I've covered this terribly, I'm a bit out of practice, guys. The tag champs who are Skip and Zip, the Body Donners. Always introduce that bit when you're going right to, when you get to your second last bullet point.
Tag champs are the rollies, as we refer to them, as opposed to the rollers.
Right. Get your head. The champs, they're back on top. Hit a nice double team. They get some kind of hurricanrana off the turnbuckle from Skip.
Yeah.
And this allows Zip. He comes off the top, landed arse first into the midriff of Aldo Montoya. And he gets the pin after there. And thereafter, for the 1-2-3, great showing from the boys, I thought. The Donners deserve more TV time. I've covered it terribly, and I've possibly made Barry Horowitz sound like the star of the show, but I really did think this is all about the Body Donners, who were superb.
Yeah, I don't remember them being this good. I mean, they barely featured, haven't they, when we've covered it, but they were very impressive.
True.
I can see why they put the tag titles on them anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. They were good. A bit more TV time deserved, possibly, but we shall see. And then from there, we're in the ring for an interview with with the new champ, the new World Wrestling Federation champion, Shawn Michaels, who's just vanquished Bret Hart in a 60-minute Iron Man, or 60-minute plus Iron Man match. We're finding out what Shawn Michaels is going to do next. It's largely rubbish in it from start to finish.
Oh, yeah. It's putrid. Terrible.
Vomit worthy stuff. Terrible.
It's just he's so disingenuous, isn't he? And like,
yeah. Correct.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can't believe it. Him trying to be nice and thanking the fans and thanking Bret Hart. It's like bullshit.
That's what's unbearable the most. Like how much he's kind of like getting or trying to get the fans on side. Like they got him over the line and all this kind of bollocks.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
Yeah. No. Correct.
Absolute toilet. But yeah, he thanks those. Even the fans who don't like him, he mentioned at some point. So they're not,
yeah,
sure. They're not your fans, sure. But nevertheless, he talks about his challenges upcoming. He's next week, we're wrestling Jerry the King Lawler, which struck me as odd. The commentator is your first defence.
Number one contender is Jerry the King Lawler.
Yeah. Where's that come from?
He's been keeping his powder dry. Why didn't he cash that in at WrestleMania?
He's leapfrogged about 1,000 people there on that roster. Number one contender.
Yeah, that's despicable, really.
Correct.
So, yeah, that's presumably going to set something up. I can't see Jerry Lawler winning the title on Raw. But nevertheless, we might be surprised. Somewhat underwhelming. From there, we put Bret Hart over a little bit. We mock the King, called him Burger King, stuff like that, was it?
Yeah,
the crowd loved it, didn't they?
Yeah. Half a minute stuff, and then
it was the 90s, folks.
And from there, comedy. The conversation turns to Diesel, who has been doing this whole angry man kind of gimmick recently, and now we can see why. When he's found out Jerry Lawler's leapfrogging people to the queue for title shots, I can see why he may be so pissed off.
That after so soon after not being able to destroy a casket with a variety of weapons, he must what a terrible few weeks it's been for Diesel.
It's pretty rubbish. But yeah, it's going to be HBK v Diesel at the next pay-per-view event, which is an In Your House. So I don't give much hope to King or Raw next week. But again, we shall see. But yeah, the long and short of the promo is, in amongst lots of kind of nothingness, he's gonna beat King next week, and then he's going to beat Diesel at the pay-per-view, and that's that.
Up next, we head into our main event of the evening. The Undertaker is taking on Justin Hawk Bradshaw.
Can I stop you there, for a second, Steve, because we've missed something out here. It's been a long time since we've done this, so it was great to see Doc Hendricks on the, on the pursuit of more gullible kind of viewers, isn't it? And this week, he's flogging the mat, isn't it? The WrestleMania mat from the Iron Man match.
Oh, yeah.
So the HBK mat plaque. And the picture on the front is of HBK like crossbodying Psycho Sid, like on the map black. So what's that about?
And it says on it, this is not the actual picture. Why have you not got a picture of HBK Shawn Michaels?
Yeah, that's poor.
Even for a promo. Yeah.
But they can't cash strap. They're selling off pieces of the mat. Like, come on.
I think this is Doc's salary. I don't think Doc gets paid. I think he's only on commission. If he sells sort of three of those, like, you know, steel chairs, cushioned WrestleMania steel chairs, then that is, you know, he's eating that week. Yeah. You know what I mean?
We've had denim jackets, haven't we? We've had cardboard cutouts. We had a WrestleMania chair. We've got the mat from WrestleMania now.
Yeah, chunk of the mat, yeah, section of the mat, and bullshit. By the way, there'll be about if you collated all those mats that actually go out in the end, you'd be able to carpet the Thunderdome. You know what I mean? There's no way that's the actual
Shawn
mat,
Michaels'
absolute copy.
Hat and glasses. Like, they can't be this cash.
Still illegal in 47 states.
Yeah. At least Nitro are not like shoving this kind of stuff down your throat.
No, that's true. You did right. That's a good shout. Yeah. They just break it in at Hulk Hogan foam fingers at the arenas, don't they? So they don't need to have Doc.
Maybe they're anticipating future lawsuits.
Maybe they'd be right to. Yeah, correct. Spot on. We must actually. We'll have to keep track of dodgy Doc merch watch going forward. You're right.
It was good to see him pop up, but
Miss Dog, yeah.
But selling the mat from the WrestleMania main event.
With his gravelly voice. The Mania mat. Unbelievable. Yeah, well, on the mat tonight, Liam, we've got Undertaker and Justin Hart Bragshaw, as we say. So, Deadman obviously had his bruising bout with Diesel at last night's WrestleMania, which King on comms correctly flags as saying that the Bradshaw is the man now, who's the lucky man who's going to be able to take advantage of this fortunate timing of taking on Taker, who's not 100%. Spot on, King. Bit of wrestling insight there. Lovely stuff. Not just the comedy catchphrases. We get underway, and Jesus wept, Bradshaw is massive and rapid. Like, how did I not realise he was this big? He Taker looks almost sort of normal, not small, yeah. But almost. He's
I don't remember
huge.
This like that.
He's absolutely and so quick.
Yeah, impressed with Bradshaw.
Totally the same. And as you say, the impressive Bradshaw, he takes control in the early going. He's landing all kinds of blows with this massive scoop slam to the running Undertaker. And as I say, making Taker, you know, well, look, maybe if not light, making him at least look like not like the 18 stone or whatever he actually weighs. Like, flips him around with speed. It was crackers. Taker does his sit-up spot, which looked great, but then he was smashed down by Bradshaw's huge and stiff-looking clothesline, like a lariat almost, and then he's thrown out of the ring, and we head to a break. The break then sees us shown the Slam of the Week, which is brought to us by Milton Bradley Karate Fighters, lads, and shows us the brilliant technical manoeuvre that's rightly given the prestigious Slam of the Week title. It's the car driving into the ageing wrestler's knees, expertly executed by Goldust on Rowdy Rodney Piper from WrestleMania the night before. Unbelievable. Slam of the Week, lads. Slam of the Week. He's hitting with a car. Slam of the Week. Unbelievable.
I enjoyed seeing the Karate Fighters though straight away.
Yeah, I was. Oh yeah, pleased to see them.
Then seeing Thunderfoot, and I always forget the other one. Seeing them straight off the bat was good to see.
What was he doing? Yeah, Thunderfoot and Stormbreaker.
No, we said this last time. Napalm Claw.
It's not Napalm Claw. I was wrong.
Stormbreaker and Napalm Claw.
Back in the arena we go, and the lads are back in the ring, slugging it out with haymakers that had felled trees. A huge and great-looking sidewalk slam from Bradshaw has the Undertaker in bother, and his manager Paul Bearer worried at ringside. The Hawk then heads up to the top rope, wow, and plants Undertaker with a diving shoulder tackle. Looked fantastic, and Bradshaw gets a two count for his troubles. Hawk performs a textbook idiot move and signals that he's going to repeat the spot to boos from the crowd. He heads up to the top rope once again, but the wily Taker is wise to it, and he's able to catch the diving Bradshaw mid-jump, mental, and execute his very own slick scoop slam, also mental. I mean, this should be a flipping pay-per-view match, these two going at, you know what I mean? Just having these two toe-to-toe on Raw. It's unbelievable. Seemingly in control, Taker and Jim Smiley, which makes me think he's found out what the Karate Fighters
are.
No, alright.
I found out.
It's on. On.
Close. Skull Crusher.
Oh!
Skull Crusher. Of course it was. Skull Crusher, damn.
Skull Breaker. I think that was the go-to last time as well. No one could think of it.
Yeah, it's Stormbreaker. Skull Crusher. Skull Crusher. It wasn't far off. Skull Crusher. Seemingly in control, Taker powers Bradshaw into the turnbuckle with an Irish whip, but the Texan just bounces off and powers back towards Taker before delivering a lariat that looks like it nearly took Taker's head off. It was ridiculous. The dead man is struggling here, lads, but he's able to duck under another lariat, plant a jumping clothesline on Bradshaw, and then choke slam his opponent to the canvas. He signals for the tombstone, nails it, crosses the arms, and just before Earl Hebner can start counting the pin, what are you waiting for here, Earl White? We could drive a bus through this gap, and you're joking, he's been pinned for 15 minutes already and there's no interference yet. But we quickly figure out why, because ambling to the ring is Mankind. Mankind tosses Taker into the steel barricade, and then the steel steps, and then sets himself up on the apron from where he lands a running, diving elbow onto the concrete-based Undertaker. The mandible claw follows, as do some more pig squeals.
The bell rings fruitlessly to try and end the carnage, and the lads in back come down to break them up and get Mankind off Taker. We're just about to go to the break, and he's back! He's back again! Another mandible claw, another elbow. He's pulled away again, but returns again, leaving Taker covered in his own spittle and looking like he's just finished the Madrid to Sevilla leg of Lost Liam Stag Do. And with that, we are out. So that was WWF Raw. Let's find out what we are made of it. What would make us want to tune in next time? And what turned us off quicker than the offer of a knee trembler from JR? Who wants to kick off the Raw ratings builders, lads?
It's quite a straightforward one for me. I presume we'll all repeat it. And you mentioned... It's Mankind, by the way. You mentioned how how you you know it's kind of like we've been building up to it for a while. And he's out of the basement.
Oh yeah,
it does kind of feel like, you know, obviously because we haven't done this for so long. It's like elongated. Do you know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But in reality, it's only about the 2 week window. But yeah. it was really good. Obviously, as you both mentioned already. Mm. Crap music aside, brilliant stuff, very, you know, different, stood out. And obviously setting up a bit of an interesting feud with the Taker. So, yeah, it should be good.
Yeah.
Great starting point, that. Just chucking him in with Taker as well, so.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Good move.
Totally seconded.
I like the camera where they were doing the close-ups, because they don't do that, do they? But they're doing the close-ups for the mainly for the finishers where he's doing a mandible claw, and you can see all the filth all over the faces and stuff.
And him leaning out the ring, like, you know, like on the second rope, tearing his hair out right in front of the camera and stuff. Like, that's like, I mean, what a difference to, you know, to compare to some of the other stuff we've had, the cartoony stuff. This is like, just, wow.
Yeah, very good.
Spot on. Correct.
Looked very strong, didn't he, giving The Undertaker a prolonged beating as well?
Yeah. Liam.
Yeah, totally agree with Jim. Strong debut from Mick. But I think that's going to be at the very top. I thought Mark Merrow on his Raw debut as well put up a good impression of him of himself there. Especially working with Yankum, who's massive as well.
Good point.
I mean, Yankum was selling really great. Like, but in terms of like some of the shots he was able to put on him and all the aerial moves and things like that. I always enjoy watching, whether it be Johnny B. Bad or Murrow. He's always been entertained anyways, and he was entertaining tonight straight off the bat. And it always helps when he's got, you know, Sable at the side of him as well. And a bit of eye candy as well. But strong debut from Murrow.
Cracking. Any more for him?
I just noted down the match quality, the general standard is there. Was really high for Raw. I thought it's like all four matches that were on, not usually of the kind, not usually as good as these were. So I thought that was worth noting.
Yeah, spot even on. The filler match, the Body Donners like showcase.
It was the best one. That was really
I think Raw hit it out the park this week, didn't he? So
all right, so time for us to pick our ultimate builder. What are we gonna go for, lads? What's the ultimate builder this week?
Mankind for me. Overall, a very good show, but Mankind just the build up and the delivery of the character, and then the last kind of shot of him with the Undertaker, making the Undertaker look a bit feeble as well, puts him in a good position, doesn't it, moving forward. So I'll go with Mankind.
Nice.
Same Mankind for me.
Yeah, clean sweep. So they were the builders, but what about the killers? Liam, kick us off.
This guy is always making the killers once he starts opening his mouth. There's no denying how brilliant he is in the ring. There's no question in that. Like, you'd be foolish to question his in-ring ability, but his mic skills are questionable when he's kind of like trying to get across all this kind of like fan favourite stuff. And this promo was just another shambolic effort to the catalogue that we've had since starting him, wasn't it? So yeah, I think this promo from HBK was cringeworthy stuff.
I haven't got, I've obviously said my thoughts on the promo. I totally agree with what Liam's just said. The only other thing I've added is I've got the treatment of Isaac Yankem DDS down, which is baffling. It should be a bigger, you know, treat it as a bigger deal to beat him than what it is. Do you know what I mean? Sort of throwaway win on Raw.
You can't be going up against. He was up against Bret Hart for a while, and then Miro's just putting him over with a sunset flip off the top rope. Like, that's mental, isn't it? That's like you say, just complete burial of the fella.
Yeah, but and he's classically huge. Can move about.
Super athletic.
Has good matches.
Yep.
It's absolutely. And then just gets beat every single week.
Yeah.
You'd never think looking at him here, one day he'll go on to be corporate Kane.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
No. Certainly wouldn't. No, he's spot on. And you think there's plenty of other cannon fodder.
Oh, yeah. He could have beat Aldo Montoya, couldn't he? Why couldn't...
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
He could have beat both of them. He could have got... Mero could have had Montoya and Horowitz. He could have beat both of them, and that would have been, you know, superior to...
The Man of War and the Holy Roller. Take them both on.
Nothing would have been lost.
Spot on. Right then, lads. What's going to be our killer pick this week? What are we going for the ultimate killer?
HBK for me.
Yeah, easily the HBK promo.
Two clean sweeps for Raw this week. Mankind Builder, HBK promo killer. Was Raw, but what about Nitro? Over to the Nitro notebook to find out. And bloody hell, we're straight into the action. Liam, what's going on?
Yeah, you're right. No introductions or patter at all from the comms table. We're straight into the ring with the Giant, who looks like he's facing off against Sting. So classic Nitro. You know, even after a hiatus from ourselves, we come back to the absolute mess that is the WCW. But Bischoff, he chirps up. He tells us that Jimmy Hart's paid off the Harlem Heat, who were supposed to be going up against Giant and Sting in a tag team bout. Footage of this is promised. We know how much they like to bang on about footage. Sometimes they deliver with this footage. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they just tell us something's appeared or something's happened. So who knows? Fingers crossed we get this.
That's like...
Yeah, sounds promising anyway. So I can't wait to have a watch of this. So yeah, we're in the ring. We've got Giants, we've got Stings, a bit of back and forth between the two. Giants, as always, no selling Sting's punches. Sting attempts a crossbody from the ropes. Giants shrugs this off before they both head outside the ring. What I will say about the Giant here, though, some impressive strength here, being able to pick Sting up in the press slam position on the outside. He holds him in the air for a little bit, but clearly the lactic acid starts to set in here, because while attempting to throw him back over the ropes, he clumsily hits the top rope, doesn't he, Sting, and then just stumbles back onto the mat. Jimmy Hart does his best to distract attention away from this. He's elated. This is skipping around at the side of the Giant like a giddy schoolgirl. and then we both enter back into the ring. Giant enters back into the ring there. I like this spot though. As Giant's getting back onto the apron, he grabs Sting by the throat, doesn't he? He's teeing up for the choke slam, and as Sting's lifted into the air, he's able to land a kick to the midriff of the Giant, who falls off the apron and hits the deck with a thud. He sold that pretty well. I was pretty surprised, really, because we've seen how bad in the past, haven't we? The Giant is at selling moves, things like that. But he looks like he took a heavy one here from Sting, and from here, for some unknown reason. We're joined by Lex Luger. Lex Luger decides to come down. Sting's, you know, he's in the driving seat here. He's got the Giant, who's on the outside, but Luger sprints in. He's in the middle of the ring. The referee spots this and straight away, obviously, calls for the bell. We know, oh, not yet. Luger's, I'm guessing Luger's appearing tonight. He's going to feature later on. So guaranteed to get some kind of interference now from the Giants, because there's no need whatsoever for Luger to get involved in this one. Anyway, Giants unhappy. He's led into the back by Jimmy Hart. And as he's leaving, he looks down the camera to the viewers and screams to them that, "Sting, remember one thing, you're only alive because Lex is there." And he must have banged his head pretty hard from when he fell off the apron, because he was not in control at all. He was on the deck, wasn't he? Legs sprawled everywhere. But yeah, we're only a few minutes into Nitro, and I'm quickly reminded of how messy the opening scenes tend to be, and how bad the spiel from the Giants is. When he's been asked to deliver some lines. But yeah, this is the cue for the opening credits to kick into life. So we get obviously the pyro and the usual entrance from the opening credits. And we're taking straight over to the comms team then, where we've got obviously Bischoff, Mongo and the Brain. We're live from Cleveland, Ohio. Bischoff informs us. We get a glimpse of Pepe. So Pepe watches, is kicked straight into life. He's wearing, I think it's leopard print, isn't it? He's got a leopard print hat and waistcoat. So, you know, no break there from what we've had from the wardrobe of Pepe. And then we've got the promised footage. I was surprised by this. I thought this wasn't gonna be delivered. But yeah, the footage is shown to the audience. We get obviously a glimpse of why the Giant and Sting kicked us off. Kicked us off on the start of the show. Jimmy Hart is holding a large letter with the words "confidential" written on the side, pantomime style, so we know what's going on.
Stephen Rose.
Yeah, yeah. And apparently he's bribed the Harlem Heat not to fight tonight against Sting and the Giants. And obviously, I don't know how that's convinced Giant to just turn on his partner, but we're not really told about that.
That's what I was going to ask. How is the bribe? This is what I was confused the most about. How is the bribe? Have the Harlem Heat, fair enough, they've took the wedge. No, we're not going to fight. Fine, Jimmy Hart.
How is that
then signed off? Right, you two are now having a match against each other. Where's the?
Yeah,
has he paid someone else off to make that match?
No idea.
Strange.
And what we see from the footage, the usually elusive footage, that Jimmy Hart bribed him, as you say, Liam, on the way to the ring.
On the way to the ring, yeah.
Left it late.
That's what I mean. Like, what if Booker T wanted to read the terms and conditions? You know what I mean? Like, this might have been all Nitro was. Booker T's like, well, hang on a minute, G. I'm, you know.
Yeah. So still
I want to make sure this is an ironclad contract, and you're not going to get this cash back off me later on. I'll just take it as read, because it says confidential in this thing, that's enough. Like, just.
Yeah, well, still it's. Say it before, still to this point, you know. The Giants like game, isn't he? He's up for a tag team contest.
He is. Yeah.
As soon as they get the large letter with confidential written on the side of it, he's
large letter.
He's flipped, isn't he? He's flipped his lid. He's gone against Sting
immediately.
But yeah, Bischoff goes through the card next. The big gold belt is on the line tonight. Again. As Ric Flair is up against Lex Luger, so that'll be our main event tonight. I've lost count in terms of how many times this belt's been defended on Nitro, but yeah, you're getting it once again. There's a triangle tag team match involving the Steiner brothers. Very good. The Road Warriors, fairly good. And Public Enemy, not so good. So they love talking about triangles, don't they?
It was the Nasties.
No. In the intro, he says, Public Enemy have purposely left that in. In the intro, because I went back and checked this, because when I got to later on and I saw that it wasn't Public Enemy, I was like, hang on, have I misheard that? But he definitely says that it's involving the Steiner brothers, the Road Warriors, and Public Enemy. Wow.
Next up, we've got that triangle tag. Jim, what happened?
As Liam has already pointed out, and we both missed it, the Steiners versus the Road Warriors versus the Nasty Boys, despite them saying it was Public Enemy. But yeah, it was obviously with the three teams, only two representatives from a team were having the ring at once, so there was a full team on the outside at all times. Which kind of made it a bit chaotic in the sense.
When you say it like that, full team. Yeah. On the
let's be honest. Out of the three tag teams we've got, though, who do we think is going to be spending the most time outside that ring?
Exactly. it was like kind of constant. The only way basically the team on the outside was getting in was just by hitting someone running by them to blindside in.
It's it's a terrible idea. I assumed it'd just be three people. Yeah, you know, it's a triple threat with tag, you know.
Just anyway. Didn't need to happen, did it? But
no, it didn't.
Also, they could do the shit finish at the end, but nevertheless.
Yeah, correct.
So you've just got blind tagging going on left, right and centre. Almost impossible to follow. It goes on forever as well. Yeah. But anyway, I'll just get on with it. But yeah, we've got tons of tagging in and out. Some big hit and lots of big moves, which you'd expect from the crowd involved. There's a bit where they all end up outside, kind of midway through, or what I thought was midway through. It went on for about another two-thirds, or about 33% of the way through, really. But
this has got to be the midpoint now.
Yeah, the lads ended up outside fighting. Everyone was getting up for that one. We return to the ring from there. There's a lot of reference to the Nasty Boys being thrown down some stairs. Did you see the Nasty Boys getting thrown downstairs?
No, didn't see that. Didn't. No, I heard that, and also, I don't know what that was in reference to.
I think that's what they were on about. A few weeks like previously, something happened to the Nasty Boys, and they're trying to like set it up that it was
got thrown down some stairs.
Apparently, I think they're trying to obviously insinuate it's Public Enemy, and that's why the Nasty Boys, I think the Nasty Boys have returned the favour kind of thing.
I see.
Right.
I mean, that's me, trying to rebuild,
piecing it together.
I don't know what's gone on. I'm just wondering why Public Enemy are not in this match.
Yeah, it's bizarre. There was a bit of a mystery around who the culprits were. They were talking about it there. I was just baffled about the whole thing. When do we see the Nasty Boys get thrown down some stairs? So more of the same after this brawl. There's lots of tagging and out, some big hitting. Rick Stein is hoying the Nasty Boys around at various points with minimal effort, which was very impressive. Given the size of the men involved.
Definitely.
But yeah, like I've noted down here, my big takeaway from this is the Nasty Boys are rubbish and I don't care who threw them downstairs.
I'm just glad they did.
We're going to skip to the finish for that reason. And then, those Dibs and Public Enemy have come out. And so Brian Knobbs, one of the Nasty Boys.
Yeah.
With the stupidest name, has ended up outside the ring. And at this point, the Divs in Public Enemy have come through the crowd and started beating him up. And the camera's getting close-ups of Brian Knobbs. And he might as well have turned around and explained to the cameraman that the lads from Public Enemy are going to turn up any minute now. Because he just kept looking over his shoulder for three or four times. Might as well have fucking signed up, mightn't he? He made it look... Public Enemy are coming any minute. Keep your eye out.
Tapping a cameraman. Mate, will you just let me know when Public Enemy turn up?
He must have looked four or five times. It was absolutely terrible. So he's looking over, waiting for him. Absolutely telegraphing it. And then one of Public Enemy, so they've both turned up. They're beating him up. And it turns out one of them is completely the ultimate challenge on any scavenger runs. And he's... acquired himself some Brian Knobbs fancy dress. This is before the days of eBay, Amazon, and everything. How he managed this, I don't know. He's got himself...
There's no way that was being sold as merch.
It's incredible. He's got himself the Brian Knobbs costume, and then he's rolled into the ring. As Brian Knobbs, while the real Brian Knobbs. This is absurd, mate. This is absurd. What are we doing all this for with these idiots?
they gave this lot 15 minutes, the most time.
I know, like,
on the card.
Jeez. What are we doing this for with these clowns? We just had a Raw where it was like the No Hopers match actually turned out to be really good because they didn't do anything stupid. It's not overcomplicate things and we'll just do some fucking wrestling. It'll be all right. With here, this one... They did all kinds of nonsense and it was just absurd. Went on forever and no one cared. So the real Brian Knobbs.
The crowd was probably.
Of course it was.
It was.
Of course it was. Absolutely outrageous.
You're in Rosette, right? No, hang on. No, they've shown they understand that they need to pander to Rosette because Jimmy Hart came out with an A3 letter. With Confidential on, written on its size, 150 font, right? So they understand that. If you're in Rosette, you'd be like, hang on. How many are in the nasty boys? How many nasty boys are there? One of them just lost. Like, you'd be totally lost on you. This would be fucking useless.
It was completely
You've watched this complex for 15 minutes and then you don't know what's happened.
Right. It was ludicrous. Anyway, the real Brian Knobs is incapacitated outside. And then one of Public Enemy is now impersonating Brian Knobs. He rolls into the ring and just gets pinned by Scott Steiner with little resistance. Does Scott Steiner do a move on him or does he just get pinned?
No, he allows himself to get pinned, doesn't he?
Oh, right. I was going to say, does he take a move? I was thinking, what would be the point of that? But yeah, nevertheless, he gets pinned by Scott Steiner, and then obviously the Steiners win. And from that, our pal Tim Patrick, he completely missed everything. And yeah, I just think nobody came out of this looking good, including Tim, obviously, for not spotting the wrong man who he was carrying the pin off.
What a mess. The Steiners, though, the class act here again, but...
Obviously, yeah. They were up against it, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they were grafted. They were having to graft it.
Yeah. They were. No, it was
they're on a show with fucking Hogan and Booty, man. I mean, this... And Taskmaster, all in the same match. This was easily the worst thing on the show, so that fucking takes some doing.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Greg. We had to sit there for 15 minutes. How long out of the 15 minutes do you reckon the Nasty Boys were involved for? Can't have been more than like 2 minutes.
Oh, no. They were what a, they were immediately what a waste. Gassed. I mean, you know, exactly. Oh. You look at the difference between them and the Steiners, and I'm sure the Steiners are all full of all kinds of roids and all the rest of it, but like, look at the difference in conditioning and then what you can do in terms of wrestling is a physical medium. You know what I mean? The best thing the Nasties did was get replaced by someone else. You know what I mean? That was the highlight of their match. Oh, like, terrible. Fucking awful. Up next is the tag team contest that literally nobody wanted, as Arn Anderson and the Taskmaster are taking on Hulk Hogan and the Booty Man, who we're still asked to believe was play-acting as the Zebrodiac for all those months, whilst really being a spy in the camp all along, and now, for reasons, we've got the Four Horsemen's Arn Deserves Better Anderson teaming up with the Dungeon of Doom's Taskmaster, with heel valets, woman, and Miss Elizabeth escorting them to the ring. Like, my head's spinning trying to keep track on... What a mess. Yeah. What a mess. We've got four people who shouldn't have anything to do with one another here in ring. What a mess.
Can I say something here, Steve?
Please do.
I mean, you've got the Booty Man in this match.
Right? Heinous.
Heinous. Right. And he doesn't look the most ridiculous in his attire. So a fella that's got like missing pieces of material on his arse cheeks does not look the most ridiculous, right?
Correct. And no,
it sounds like I've got like a vendetta against Kevin Sullivan, but
no, he's horrendous.
Just take a look at him. He looks like a Lost Property collaboration. Like, like he's got some oversized trunks, and like he's gone through Lost Property. Like, what could I pair this with? Those little ankle boots, which are the wrong colours. What a shambles. He's all over the place, this fella.
It is awful. It is awful. He looks like some.
And at least like Hogan and like the Booty Man and Double A, they look a bit conditioned. And you've just got him, his little pot belly. And
he looks like an egg, doesn't he? He looks like an old
face
egg.
Face paint and all kinds.
That comes off immediately. He's like sweated off 10 seconds into every match. Oh, it's appalling.
I was wondering, what is the feud at this point now? Is it still Taskmaster versus Hogan?
Not a clue. Don't know. Not a clue. Yeah. Honestly, don't know. I don't know why this is going on. Like, because the thing I was trying to track it back to was the Dungeon of Doom trying to end Hulkamania.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Which,
you can't do it, pal. We've established, right? You tried, you can't do it.
Exactly. We've put that to bed, and yet here we are. And poor Arn, who is clearly just lumped in with this because they need someone who can wrestle because
no one else can.
Taskmaster can't.
Yeah.
Exactly, and Hulk can't. And Booty Man, well, he's better than those two, but still, he's Booty Man. You know what I mean? Like, it's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Shocking. Absolutely, just the whole thing is just a...
Stinkfest.
Booty Man couldn't even take an eye rake halfway through this match. Woman had to give the eye rake twice because he beat the first
twice. Shout and go back. He missed it. He forgot where his eyes were.
He's like an eye rake.
He missed it.
Fucking
shocking. Absolutely shocking.
What do you think woman was trying to do? Do you know what I mean? She grabbed your face. Fucking sell the eyes. Come on, Bowie, man.
His bandana must have slipped over him. It's all I can think. Shocking. Anyway, as we've mentioned several times on this pod, it's been a while, but Taskmaster's music hitting didn't half make me want to skip this match. Like, it was really just, ugh. And I ended up, you know, I'm rooting for these two simply because they're not Hogan, but Taskmaster coming out, fucking hell. Oh, it's dire, Liam, you're dead right.
Yeah.
Anyway, as the posse make their way ringside, we learn that the first ever Lethal Lottery will be coming up on pay-per-view soon, which immediately fills me with dread because we know exactly what will happen. Basically, there'll be loads of tag matches where, correct, where partners are picked at random. So there'll be all kinds of...
Public Enemy and Nasty Boys are mixed. So yeah.
Exactly
over.
That. Exactly.
Honestly,
that.
Honestly, if you'd have sat me down and said the words Lethal Lottery, I'd have known straight away WCW would be all over this. Do you know what I mean? Done. Like, you it just...
It'd be awful. We just know Hogan, you know, he'll be paired with some massive heel and he'll still be able to win somehow and screw over his heel partner. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to watch. I don't want to watch it.
The Lethal Lottery.
Terrible. The Lethal Lottery. Fucking DJ Lethal Lottery. Anyway, never mind all that, though. We've got a pointless and likely terrible match to get underway. So the heels get themselves all in the ring, and then Hogan's music can be heard and the camera cuts to the crowd, where a teenage girl just off the gangway starts doing double thumbs down gesture and booing, causing the cameraman to shit himself as someone in the production truck clearly screams, film someone else right now, in his earpiece. So he pans down the row to find some Hogan mega fans. But we just see other people, one after the other, looking either apathetic until we then find another double thumbs down booer. Fucking brilliant. He's quickly moved on from this lad, and then we finally find a pair who've got some Hogan merch and get looking, but the damage has already been done. Absolutely hilarious. Loved it. And then out comes the man himself, followed by the Booty Man and the Booty Babe, formerly the Diamond Doll, Kimberly the Diamond Doll, now the Booty Babe. The cameraman is now giving up on the crowd, just as now looking, found some lads wearing just WCW t-shirts and a Stinger foam finger. Like, that's how bored everyone is of Hulk. We've just given up when we found a Stinger foam finger as the focus. Anyway, we get underway, and it's Arn and Booty Man locking up, and Bobby Heenan says, tonight, lads, is his last night on Nitro. He's retiring from commentary and wrestling. Jesus wept. Anyway, just drops it. It just match starts. He says that. Stony silent. Booty Man lands an atomic drop on Arm, and then old Yeller comes in to avenge Anderson, who's got thrown to the outside. Taskmaster swings a punch at Booty Man so high that he'd have even have missed the giant's chin, and then gets atomic drop for his troubles. Booty Man sort of dances to celebrate. I mean, a dances in inverted commas, very loose terms. It's like he looks like some awkward drunken uncle dancing at a wedding. It's terrible. It's terrible. He heads to the outside to continue roughing up Arn, who gets distracted by the Booty Babe. Not like Arn that, he's usually above these things, but he does. Before turning round to find, quote, that sneak Hogan, as the end quote, as the brain rightfully calls him, who clotheslines him in a blindsided attack. Two more boos from the crowd get in. Hulk and Booty hit the rope running Arn with a double big boot, which looks absolutely pants, causing Heenan to quip. It's like watching two of the ugliest rockets I've ever seen. Spot on. I mean, Hulk barely gets his leg, like, above... It's basically Arn's solar plexus and Arn has to duck to get it. It's fucking awful. Arn and Booty pick up the battle, though, and then Arn starts to take control with Taskmaster's help. And then when the ref's back turned, Booty tags in Hulk at the latter's request after he like calls on the crowd for their opinion, and he gets the tag and enters the ring to absolute crickets. This fucking crowd, they are MVPs tonight. I'm marking out to them. They're this brilliant. I mean, it's time for the fucking heel turn, Hulk. They're as bored of you as I am. This is great. Hogan flapjacks Arn onto the top rope, neck first, like a guillotine. And I think that is the first time I've seen Hulk do a move that wasn't a big boot, a body slam, or a leg drop, or just punches in the entire time we've been covering the Monday Night Wars. Well, apart from all those holds he applied to his monster truck's fake steering wheel, of course. Hulk dodges the oncoming old yellow elbow drop, so Arn gets planted by his teammate as Hulk brings in Booty Man. Mongo says, Booty Man's impressed him since he came to WCW. He's like a Tasmanian devil. I mean, I don't remember you saying anything of the sort when he was the Zebrodiac, Mongo, mate. But, you know what I mean? He's impressed him since coming to WCW. I mean, what you've been watching, Mongo, I don't know, but there you go. Booty's dumped to the outside after Woman, as you rightfully said, Jim, takes two attempts to gouge his eyes while the ref's back turned. I mean, Booty has to sort of go back to get gouged again, like, fucking hell. Just fucking hell. Hogan turns up the heat after the lukewarm tag and plants more horrific big boots to the Irish Whip, Taskmaster and Arn, one after the other, and to boos from the crowd. Love it. Woman hands her high heel a Taskmaster now while the ref's back turned, which Booty Man sees and then asks the Booty Babe to hand over a high heel of her own, which he passes to Hogan, who uses it to KO the Taskmaster and then get the pinfall. By the ref, who then turns back around to get the win. Booty Babe then gets attacked by Woman for playing her part in the finish. The Booty Man comes to his valet's aid. The faces then celebrate in the ring, and the Booty Babe plants a kiss on Booty Man for saving her, as Bischoff goes mental on comms, more so than he did at any point in the match, remarking at just how lucky Booty Man is, as Heen and G is, lay one on Hogan, if you're going to be doing like that, as they leave the ring. But while we're watching a replay of the finish, lads, the heels apparently attack again. We don't see it. Hogan fights them off, sort of, without issue. We don't really see it. And then Mean Gene heads to the ring to interview the winners. Hogan is immediately booed. Fucking brilliant. And that's before he says that tonight's win was a shoo-in. Well, Gene had just made like a similar crack, which he clearly wasn't listening to. So it made the shite pun fall even fucking flatter than it would have normally left to his own device. It was fucking hilarious. Anyway, a generic and typically poor promo from Hogan follows in his usual style. He tries to mock Arn and Old Yeller, impersonating them and claiming, if you can believe it, saying they'd said, "Please, Mr. Booty, don't beat us up. Please, Mr. Hogan, give us a break." As if that's the sort of thing that either of those lads would say, or anyone for that matter would say ever in their life. That's just ridiculous. No one would ever say that. Anyway, well, that's at least what Hulk meant to say, except because he's Hulk and he's an absolute gangplank of a man, he manages to get his own name wrong and call himself Mr. Hogus.
Yeah, that's what I've got down here. I've put, does he call himself Mr. Hogus? Question mark.
He does, Liam. Let's have a listen.
As Kevin Sullivan, as Arn Anderson dropped to their knees, they said, "Please, Mr. Booty, don't beat us up. Please, Mr. Hogus, give us a break."
Mr. Hogus.
Please, Mr. Hogus.
Mr. Hogus.
Mr.
Hogus.
Mr.
Hogus.
Mr. Hogus.
It's his own name. He says his own name more than anything. It's Mr. Hogus.
Hogus Pogus.
Hogus fucking Pogus. Mr.
Hogus.
Mr. Hogus.
Yeah, he's the bar has been well and truly lowered for Hogan, hasn't it? You can't be getting your own name wrong.
No, you can't. That's incompetence to the highest.
It's criminal. You can't come back from that.
I mean, you know, fuck me. We've had fucking Moose Fast and now we've had Mr. Hogus. I mean, what's next? Yeah. Mr. Hogus. Please, Mr. Hogus. Christ.
This was shambolic at the end. The match was bad, but this pattern between Booty Man and Hogus was terrible. No wonder they started booing in the background.
Hogus.
Honestly.
Hulk Hogan.
What was all this thing about Booty Man saying, like, this thing he's teasing, this, like,
big reveal, yeah.
This big reveal, you know, because obviously that the secret weapon was obviously a damp squib when that was teased. But he's talking about, like, he's trying to get satisfaction said, like, in every sentence.
Right, what is this? What is this? What is the idea? This isn't a gimmick. It's, satisfaction. Yeah. Like, he does it, but he says it different both times. I don't know if he's just unsure of how to do it. But you're right, Liam. So, yeah, he comes out with this cobblers, right? So
it's painful.
Booty Man, it's ain't it awful? Booty Man says he's sick of Arn and Taskmaster always getting the last laugh, right? Referencing them, I assume, jumping in at the end of the match, right? But they were chased off by it and you're left victorious in the ring. So it doesn't really work that, does it? Like, you can't say they've got the last laugh and you're there, you know, with a microphone and a stadium PA.
But Hogan,
with which to amplify.
Sorry, Hogus was quick to it. Quick to find out that it was only The last laugh was very much on the booty man, not him. He kept it. They're laughing at you. They're laughing at you, booty man. They weren't laughing at me. They were laughing at you, booty man. I wasn't being laughed at. No one was laughing at Mr. Haugus. They were laughing at you, booty man. He's such a
friend. Mr. Haugus. Fucking awful.
After such a break from Mr. Haugus, like, you can't believe like how bad the fella is. Like,
it's awful, isn't it? Oh, God.
There's like not even a warm-up period. Like, he's just straight away.
No,
just terrible,
straight in for shite. Shite, indeed. Anyway, we've already spent far too long on this crap. So Booty says he's got to, in order to get the upper hand, he's got a special match in mind, which will finally give them the last laugh, right? He needs Haugus, sorry, to stay his partner for another week to be in that match so that they can do that. But he can't tell us what that match would be because that would be too easy. Right. I tell you what, though, it's a good job he's not saying this on the telly, because otherwise Arn and Taskmaster would know not to sign up for the whatever mystery match is, knowing that Booty's got something in his back pocket, you know. It's a good job, because otherwise that would just scupper it immediately. Hogan lists off a bunch of matches he's been in for reasons that no one can really understand. Strap match, world championship match. World championship match isn't a type of match, Hulk, is it? That's just normal match. There's just something on the line. But then he says, you're dead right, Jimmy. He wasn't happy that Arn and Taskmaster and the girls, if you can believe the ignominy of that.
All laughing at
specifically
him,
specifically the Booty Man. No one at Hulk. No one at Hogus. And that means Mr. Hogus, because they were all laughing at him, they get this. They're going to get this match, right? So. What a shambles. Unbelievable.
I can't believe they're doing it again. They're after a rematch to a match they've won six times.
Yeah, I know.
We need a rematch to this match we've just won for the past fucking however many weeks.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
Please, you know, Mr. Haugus, give me a break.
Mr. Haugus! Please, Mr. Haugus!
Oh, with that, we're off to a break. When we return, we've got Ric Flair defending his World Heavyweight title against Lex Luger. Liam, take us through the action.
Right. When we decide like who's covering which match, I'm always disheartened to be given the WCW main event. purely of what we've seen down the line with the Yeti and...
It's not being good.
You know, Ric Flair versus Macho, part 7 kind of thing. I glanced over to the clock, as I always do. It's just a habit now. Main event habit. And we're 37 minutes into a 52-minute show, so I'm already deflated. But anyway, in the main event, we've got, for the big gold belt, doing this again every week, we've got Lex Luger, who... He's coming off his comedy angle, so I'm quite positive about that. We've had a couple of laughs out of Lex, haven't we, over the last few weeks. And we've got, obviously, Lex going up against the champ, Ric Flair. And I think we've commented on this recently as well. Like, this is nothing against Ric Flair. He's, like, absolutely wrestling royalty, isn't he? But in 96, his matches are just carbon copies, aren't they, every week?
Same thing, you know, every week. The same spot.
Same thing every week. So before I start here, I've got my Ric Flair bingo card ready, right? So the things that I've gone for, the things that I've put on my bingo card, I've got a failed top rope move. I've got elaborate sell of an Irish whip into the corner.
Which then leads to the run across the apron.
Yeah. Yes. I've got weapon interference. Yes. And a momentum shifting poke to the eye. So... I'm gonna see if I can just get those ticked off. I'm confident.
What about press slam?
Amazing.
Have you got press slam? Get press slammed. Take a press slam.
I've only had four spots, Jim, and I'm still confident. I think that's a dead cert that you've put in there. But I'm still pretty confident of the four that I've chosen. But we'll see how we get on anyway.
And that often does come from the old
that's how it usually goes wrong.
Yeah, that's the setup.
So I'll keep eye on how we're going on the Ric Flair bingo card. But
amazing, we've got a show at house if we think we're there.
Yeah. Oh, I'll keep you updated. Don't worry.
Oh, super. Lovely.
Anyway, Lex is out first. And he's in possession of two belts. He's got the TV title. He's got the tag team championship belts with him. He's holding three fingers up to the camera. He's going to make it three. He bellows to the audience. So he can complete the trifecta here with the big gold belt. So he's confident. He's out heading to the ring. Fleur's entrance is next. And as you mentioned in your run through the previous match with the AA, they're massively over here, aren't they? The Horsemen. There's four-fingered salutes everywhere in the crowd. Absolutely. Obviously, Hulk Hogan was booed every time he was on camera and things like that. So they're massively over the Horsemen here. And what I like here straight away, just to complete the WCW comedy show this week, Tim Patrick is showing the big gold belt off to the crowd, and the camera zooms in to the belt. And they've still got Macho Man's name fixed to the front of it.
No.
So despite Macho losing this title at Super Brawl, which was February the 11th, and obviously Ric Flair's at it for, 5 weeks now, Macho's name's still attached to the front of it. They've not even fixed that, so... We saw that directly when the camera shot straight into the belt there. So, you know. So there we go. Just to complete the comedy sketch of WCW Nitro this week. They've still got Macho Man's name on the belt.
Fuck.
Piss poor standards come from the top, don't they? How can I blame the booty man for not being able to sell an ice rink?
5 weeks.
Can't even up the end of the belt.
Yeah. 5 weeks. You've had 5 weeks to do this.
Oh, that's awful. Fuck
anyway, man. The bell goes. We're underway in the main event, 37 minutes in. And we get the classic Fleur strutting to the crowd, walking around the ring. Luger, he cooperates with this. He starts flexing the muscles. Early doors, Luger, he's demonstrating his power. He hits Fleur with a shoulder charge. Press slams 1 and 2 were in early doors, Jim, so you would have been...
you'd have been sitting pretty already.
Oh, 30 seconds in, you'd have been up. So we've got two press slams off the bat. He's overpowering Fleur in the early exchanges, coming together in an arm lock, but straight away Luger shrugs this off, overpowers him, and Fleur's being made to look like Aldo Montoya here, the heavyweight champ, so doesn't bode well. However, Fleur stops the Luger train early on with an elbow to the face as Lex is charging across the ring into the corner. He sells to the crowd, starts flexing them, and they're loving this. They're giving it the Four Horsemen, so as I've said, he's massively over here. We're 3 minutes in at the moment. Sorry, 3 minutes 40 in at the moment. And Fleur decides to go up top. But Luger straight up to his feet to throw him down on the mat. So that's 1 out of 4. Tick, fellas, on your Ric Fleur bingo card.
Get your dabbers out.
Yeah, the dabbers are out. We're 1 in straight away. Luger clothesline Fleur to the outside next. And then Fleur's livid. He starts to throw a tantrum. He's decided enough is enough. He's walking into the back. But he's persuaded to sort this out by Woman and Miss Elizabeth, and he heads back into the ring. He starts to plead his innocence to Luger for mercy, and as Luger lets his guard down, Fleur hits him with the momentum shifting poke to the eye. So we're tick two on your Ric Fleur bingo card. Luger heads to the outside to warn off Woman and Miss Elizabeth, and Fleur takes this pause from Luger to hit him with a running knee to the ribs, and then he starts to grind Luger down Fleur style. All the dirty shenanigans are coming out. Woman gets involved here. I think she bites Luger's face. I couldn't really tell at the time. Did any of you get any of this? I don't know if it was an eye rake, because I know she did that in the last match, but it looked like she bit his face.
Yeah, she was super close up to it. Yeah, too.
That's pretty good, really. She's obviously coming across more vicious than Fleur in this one. But yeah, Fleur starts to target the knee of Luger. He's warming up for the figure four, which he puts on straight away. It brings a two count as Lex's shoulders are down on the mat before Luger is able to break the hold. The match spills to the outside, and again, Luger takes control once more. He delivers a decent-looking clothesline that sends Fleur to the concrete. Ooh. All Luger at the moment, the heavyweight champ, as he's being squashed royally here. Lex rolls Fleur back into the ring. He uses a backslide into a pin, which I don't think is going to get the job done with the heavyweight champ, however pathetic he's looking at this time. But Luger gets him up off the mat, decides it's time for the Irish whip into the corner, which we get Fleur overselling. He spins over the apron onto the apron there. So that's tick number three. We're 3 out of 4 in straight away. We're 6 minutes in. So it's just weapon interference to the win. So I've got my fingers crossed here. Luger catches Fleur from the top rope in a bear hug hold, probably the best looking spot of the match, if I'm being honest. He places him back on the top turnbuckle before executing a nice looking superplex followed up by a body slam. Impressive from Lex. He's done all the right things in this one. Woman grabs something from the side of the guardrail. The camera doesn't pan quick enough to find out what's going on or what's in her hands, but she heads straight into the ring as Miss Elizabeth distracts the referee. Luger has Flair locked into the torture rack as woman chucks hot coffee, Bischoff tells us about. So that's straight into the eyes of Luger. Luger hits the mat. Flair rolls him up. He's using the rope as leverage, and the referee, Tim Patrick, counts the 1, 2, 3, and the crowd rejoice as Flair gives them the four-finger salutes that they're already got in the air. So I'm going to be honest, I wasn't expecting hot coffee to be the weapon interference. I thought it would have been brass knucks down the trunks or something, but I think I'm hoping that you'll give me the coffee as being some form of weapon interference so I can get the 4 out of 4.
I'll give that, yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Brilliant. Okay, so bingo there. And as we always comment on, you know, Rick, love him to death, but he's 80s, 90s, early 90s kind of style of wrestling is so outdated, isn't it? But however, you know, we move on nevertheless, and we've got another title defense on Nitro that's been successfully defended by Ric Flair. He heads out to the back with Woman and Miss Elizabeth, and we go straight to comms. We deliver a recap of the night's events. And sadly, as Bobby Heenan has been telling us all night, it's his last show on Nitro, and he shakes the hands of Bischoff and Mongo, but just before we cut out, he quickly shouts "April Fools" and cackles as we cut away to the credits. What a joker! But that's your lot for Nitro this week.
So that was WCW Monday Nitro. Let's find out what we are made of it. Who wants to kick off our Nitro ratings builders, lads?
I'll start. I think the saving grace from this absolute shambles of a wrestling show was the Steiners. They had to, you know, carry two tag teams through their match.
Quite literally, yeah, but half the time.
But regardless, whenever they're involved, they're so over at the moment. It was the hottest team on the programme, and absolutely delivered here, Rick and Scott did. So the Steiners, as always, class act. So I've got to put them forward as a builder on the show.
Jim?
I have nothing. it was criminal. I'm in no way, the only thing I've got written down, I'm in no way endorsing the finish or the a match or anything about the people involved, but I did get a bit of a kick out of the fact that someone would impersonate Brian Knobbs. That is the only thing for me. It was terrible, horrendous.
Yeah, I only had the Steiner saw.
Yeah, Steiner's by default, Liam. I think that's a role of a builder this week. It's over at the Killers, right? It wants to start off. Jim, go ahead, you kick off this one.
Again, like, where could you? There's so many options. It was just the stalest, driest show you're ever likely to encounter. And it was a silicon packet in the Gobi Desert. It was just absolute zero moisture in this. It was so dry. The standout, but again, like I say, you can pick loads. I just couldn't believe they're still doing the fucking shoe angle, the Hogan Taskmaster stuff. The shoe. It's the deadliest weapon going, the shoe, for like however many weeks. The shoe.
It's like primary school, isn't it? It's like, it's so bad.
And like you hear, like, you know, like, obviously, like, when you see, like, interviews or whatever, and you hear people, like, looking back and they talk about Nitro, and you hear lots of stuff, like, good and bad, and, like, see, like, you know, it's usually kind of positive and, like, innovative and fucking NWO and all that. And, you know, some of it's obviously the odd bad thing as well, but I just cannot believe I've never heard anyone say, do you remember that time Nitro ran for about 3 months' worth of matches, we're all decided by fucking some shenanigans involving a woman's shoe? It's like, it's never spoken about, and it should be, because it's insane. And
it is, you're so right. And it's like, at what point do the refs start saying, right, this happens every week, everyone, you're wearing
if you want to bring the women out, we've got to come with trainers on.
That's it. Exactly, that's it.
That's it. Or I can't come out. That's your choice.
Exactly. Are the refs not going back and appraising their own performance and just rewatching the show? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's got a full week to get sorted.
The refs couldn't look stupid, could they? The Brian Nobbs is not that.
Exactly. Back to back. Staggering. Absolutely awful.
That's my main killer, but again, like I said, you could be here all night.
Yeah. Yeah, Spawn. Taskmaster, special call out for just how bad.
Yeah.
Like I said, he looks like a sort of a weird egg of a man rolling around the ring, looking all of about 60 years of age. Like it's like bring your dad to work day for the wrestlers, and he's turned up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's awful, terrible.
I think collectively, like just WCW. Like, let's start from the beginning. So the fact that they didn't, like, we didn't get an introduction. We just started off with the Giant versus Sting. Nothing was said.
And I don't mind that if it's like, you know, when it's like, you know, someone's jumped someone backstage and like, fine. But this was just a match. There was a delayed start of the match because it should have been.
Oh, yeah.
Harlem Heat in there. So this was they had more time to prep for this, not less, you know. Yeah. Like,
so we had no introduction, we had no kind of like inkling of what had happened. Footage was just promised about, you know, what's gone on
with the footage.
So that was the start. We had the Giant on the mic, terrible.
Yeah.
Then we had the triangle match, which was atrocious. Do you know what as well? I don't rate the Road Warriors either. Like, nah, I think they're terrible as well. I think the Steiners have had to just work overtime here, big, you know, with the Nasty Boys as well. That was terrible. Yeah. We had Mr. Hogus, always atrocious. The Booty Man, I can't believe this.
That's his tagline, Mr. Hogus, always atrocious. Yeah,
the Booty Man, this fella's still knocking about. Taskmaster, no, don't need to say anything else. Ric Flair in the same kind of match every week. It's just a shambles, isn't it?
One of them, but... Right, lads, what are we going to pick? It's probably going to be the toughest thing we've ever done for our ultimate killer, the WCW Nitro.
I think collectively it's got to just be the whole program, hasn't it?
Top to bottom. Terrible.
When your top face is getting his name wrong, I think that's just like the cherry on top, isn't it? So,
says it all.
Yeah, so collectively, just WCW.
Yeah.
Collectively for me.
No.
Yeah, it was dreadful.
Whole thing.
All time low for WCW.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, with all of that in mind, lad, let's see which show we thought should have won the fight for viewing figures this week. I wonder which one it'll be. So, remind our listeners at home, it's currently 15-10 to Nitro on the Monday Night scoreboard. So, I think it's unlikely that Raw's going to fail to claw one back here, lads. But what do we reckon? Is this the easiest thing we've ever had to do?
In terms of, like, quality, it's painfully obvious and it's predictable as a Ric Flair Nitro main event, but it's like, obviously, surely you'd think Raw's going to win regardless of the fact of the quality of the show, given that it's the Raw after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then, here's another question for you then. Are they going to batter Nitro? Is it going to be a close run thing? What are your predictions?
No,
for
I don't think it,
the magnitude?
We always say this, don't we? It's never as like as obvious as that, is it? So I think it'll be like a marginal Raw win.
Marginal.
I've gone 2.6 to 2.2.
2.6 to 2.2. Wow, that's very specific. Right.
Yeah, I think I thought Raw, every match on Raw was very good.
It was. Yeah, agree with that.
So, surprisingly very good as well.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
When the Body Donners are like coming out on top as the best match, and you've got Undertaker and Mankind as well on your card.
Yeah.
You're onto a winner, aren't you? So,
27. Well, that's what we think. What did the American public think in 1996? Over to the golden envelope to find out. Raw, 2.9. Nitro, 2.8. So Raw just claws one back and stops the bleeding, making it 15-11 in WCW's favour on the Monday Night Scoreboard. Just a very, very justly deserved win. Now, will they be able to capitalise next week, or will WCW reassert their dominance after the mania has died down? There's only one way to find out. Well, that's it for this episode of the Monday Night Scores Season 2. Right, well, before we head off to start tracking down, absolutely couldn't give a shit about having any kind of design, just get them in the merch stand and do it quick. HBK WWF Champion plain white baseball caps on eBay. Did you see that thing? It was the most heinous thing I've ever witnessed. All the shit I give them for pleather, but this was, they hadn't even bothered. It was awful. Don't forget to follow us on the socials. We are at TMN Scores. That's at TMN Scores on Twitter. I'm not calling it X. Fuck off. No chance. It's Twitter. Or follow us at The Monday Night Scores on Instagram. And if you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. Well, all that's left for us to say is goodbye. So thank you all so much for listening. And until next time, this has been Hogus at The Monday Night Scores. I'm going to go. Keep going.
Keep going. Yes. Keep her going.
So that was...
Just keep her going.
Keep her going.
In opportune time.
Classic. I'll take that for a dig that out. We watch that for ages.
Keep her going.
Right. Keep her going. Right. So that was... you're all like that. Ironically, not keeping it going. Right. Here you go. I feel like that, you know, the ones playing golf on Jackass the Movie where they keep getting with the air horn. I have Tourette's, whatever. I'm blowing the horn. It makes you need to blow the horn. It's so good. So good. It helps. So clever.